Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt and taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, with a love of fantasy books and funk, and a hatred of running more than 3 miles, Dave Denniston.
Welcome back, my friends. This is Dave Denniston, your host. Welcome back to the Freedom Formula for Physicians. This is a podcast devoted to helping you slash your debt, slash your taxes, and live a liberated lifestyle. And in this episode, this is part two of the Nee Darko interview, The Doc Outside the Box. And in this interview, we continue talking about some of the critical advice that Nee is going to give himself in residency and in medical school. We're going to talk about why he isn't living in his ideal setting and how much he is paying towards student loans and how student debt has been part of his journey. We're also going to talk quite a bit about a side hustle and why he started what he's doing, how much it costs, and trying to pass on some great business lessons to you. And then we're going to cap it all off talking about his podcast, Docs Outside the Box, and some great episodes that you are going to want to check out. So with no further ado, here is part two. Well, you know, I think it really comes down to where they're at. I mean, I guess if you're a neurosurgeon and had all your student loans already paid off because your family helped you through your residency program, and it could be worth thinking about, but I don't know. I think it's a very rare instance for most physicians where a lot of people I talk to have $300K in student debt. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But sorry for interrupting you on that one. I just wanted to let you guys know that I was making some really dumb mistakes. So please use me as the cautionary tale.
That's right. Well, I think that the main tale here is be aware of what you're getting into to the best of your ability. You're not going to know everything about it, as Nee said, but I think the lesson is just double check, get a second opinion, just as many regular folks would do with physicians. Doesn't hurt to get someone that may be doing the opposite and why, and see what sits with you the best. Now, besides insurance, let's get off that soapbox. You mentioned this.
Let's bring my blood pressure.
I know that. Let's bring it down. Put a little cooling pad on your head here. I know that debt is a huge subject and something we talk about a ton in this podcast because it's something that I see practicing physicians still 20 years out of practice struggling with. So for you, how has debt been part of your journey? And then secondly, what are you doing to address that debt?
Ooh-wee. All right. So like I said, I met my wife in med school. We didn't get any scholarships going into medical school, and we went to a private medical school. So I graduated with roughly about $240 of debt. We also got our MBAs, and then she also graduated the same amount of debt. We got married roughly about 3 years ago. But when we graduated from medical school, we had $240 in debt. We couldn't make any substantial payments during residency, so a lot of interest accrued. So by the time we got married, we roughly each had about $330 in debt. So right now, we found ourselves, as of November of 2013, in $660,000 in debt.
Wow.
And $130,000 of it was in private loans with interest rates that range from 6% to roughly about 10%. And then the rest were all consolidated during that special time in 2002, 2003, 2004, when you could consolidate your loans at a very low interest rate. So we were lucky within that realm. But debt has played a very big role in our lives. As you can see, I'm an East Coaster. I'm from New York. My wife is from New York, but we are in Pennsylvania. We found a great job in Pennsylvania, but if the world was perfect, we'd like to be closer to our family in New Jersey and New York. But because of the fact that the lifestyle is so high, because property taxes, state income taxes are so high, we can't afford to live in New York or New Jersey. So we live about 5 hours away in rural Pennsylvania, and it's been a great experience for us out here. The job is great. Our employer is great. The pay is good. We are able to keep the majority of our money and use that towards loans. So on average, what we do now is we live off of one salary, which is my wife's. She works part-time as an OB doc. We live off of her salary, and we use whatever's left from her salary, and then we use all of my salary to pay off student loans. And we started that process in 2014, October 2014, and we are roughly about 60% of the way, maybe even more, towards our loan debt, finishing it all off.
Congratulations, man. Thank you. I'd clap, but I don't want to hurt anyone's ears in the microphone. People started clapping out here, but that's amazing. Well, yeah. I know one of the things you talk about the podcast is you're actually purposely not buying a house.
We already have a house.
You did buy a house. Okay,
no, you were delaying
on it though, right?
No. We don't have a house. I'm just joking. Like, we literally have
the mortgage.
The mortgage is, we basically equate our Sally Mae loan debt to a mortgage. You know, so it's a joke. It's just a play on words. So we kind of look at it as if we have a house right now that we're trying to pay off. But yes, we've been delaying purchasing a house. We've been delaying on purchasing anything long term until we get our student loan debt paid off. We are basically practicing everything that we can to make sure that lifestyle creep does not happen. And I'm sure, Dave, you see that a lot in some of your clients, or just, you know, some of the bad stories that you hear about physicians who, you know, are in student loan debt or are in a situation where they just, there's a big jump from being an attending, sorry, being a resident to being an attending. And all of a sudden you think you deserve a house and you think you deserve the Tesla, or you think you deserve what have you. And then all of a sudden you're living paycheck to paycheck, and you look back and you're like, wait, I'm a physician. How am I living paycheck to paycheck? You know, so
yes,
it's very interesting how that works out. But that we've done everything we can to make sure that we don't fall into that trap.
Well, on my end, it's so hard because, I mean, you can't tell people what to do. I mean, at the end, people are going to do what they're going to do. And you think of living on the coast, as you said. I mean, if someone chooses to live in an area where homes cost $600,000, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000, and they're still working off of debt, and in many cases, there's good reasons to do that because they have kids and they need family support, or they have a great possibility of a job there because they know people and have connections. But gosh, I just what I see a lot of physicians struggling with is they're 50 years old, they still have $100,000 in student loans. And they have a fat mortgage. They have a car loan. They might even have a little bit of credit card debt. And when you look at what they're spending, they're never going to be able to retire by the time they're 65.
No.
And as hard as they've been working, as many sacrifices as they've given to the world, I mean, it breaks my heart in many ways. But you just have got to work with what you got. Some people learn those lessons later rather than sooner.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think the great news as a physician, with the way things stand right now, despite reimbursements being on the decline and everything, is you still have a chance to make this up. You know, we're not done yet. There's many ways to do it. And one of the things, I guess, that leads us to being outside the box. You are the doc outside the box. Or at least you're working on getting outside the box. And So tell us about how the podcast started. What inspired you with that?
So the podcast started, or at least the idea for the podcast started, when I was doing locum tenens after fellowship. I had a hard time figuring out where I wanted to be in terms of practicing. Obviously, I knew that being in New York and New Jersey wasn't possible, but it's very hard to determine where you want to end up based off of an eight-hour interview. So, yeah, you do an eight-hour interview at a hospital, and then they give you a contract. Yeah, sign this three-year or five-year contract. And, you know, for me, it's just like, that didn't sound very appealing. So I started doing locum tenens. And what locum tenens is, if for people who don't know, it's basically temp work for physicians. You go to different hospitals. They may have a physician shortage in a certain specialty, and you go there and you work there for a certain period of time, a week, 2 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, maybe even longer. And you work there and you basically get to see what it's like to be a physician in that situation. And what I noticed is I would go to different hospitals. I would work in Pennsylvania, Minnesota. I'd work in Idaho, various different places. And I was meeting different physicians who, you know, were in various parts of their career, whether, you know, early on, in the middle of their career, or at, you know, towards the end. But they were doing some really phenomenal things. I was meeting people who were, you know, doing things, you know, they were, most of the time they were in Liberia or in very austere environments with, you know, Doctors Without Borders, and they were using locums within the United States to kind of help pay for that time that they weren't going to get paid. There were people who were medical experts for CBS. There were people who were just doing really cool, crazy things that I always wanted to do, but never got a chance to do. So picture me, I always had a lot of things that I was very interested in. I was very interested in computers. I started a computer tech company with my father. I was very interested in sports. And I noticed in med school, I really liked connecting and talking to people. I was really big into student organizations and just talking to people. And I realized that I just like doing those things. And because of having to focus on residency and focus on this tough lifestyle, I just let all of that stuff fall by the wayside. And I started looking back on things and I'm like, look, since I was in high school, basically I've always thought 4 years in advance, right? So freshman year, what's life going to be like? Even as a high schooler, what's life going to be in college? And then you get to college, look, I'm trying to get through these 4 years of college so that I can get into med school. And then after that, residency. Then after that, you become an attending. And then it's...
Now what?
Now what? And for me, the whole notion of, okay, so now I'm going to spend the next 20 to 30 years just operating and taking care of patients. And that is very noble. And that's what I would like to do. But I just needed something else. There has to be something else that comes along with this. And that's how Docs Outside the Box started. It was me saying, okay, this is my foray. This is my thing where I'm going to just introduce everybody to all of these interesting stories and basically find inspiration for people who are looking to do things outside of just normal traditional medicine. And with me, I try to give career advice. I try to find guests who are relatable. I try to find guests who are still humble, who are still going through the grind that my listeners can relate to them and say, huh, maybe I can be a media expert, or huh, maybe I can move to New Zealand, or huh, maybe I can, you know, do X, Y, and Z and do that. And one of the biggest things that I don't like about some podcasts, particularly even some of my favorite podcasts, are they would interview people who are so successful, who are so far away from the grind, that they're talking about things that I can't relate to. You know, like, for example, like listening to like Tony Robbins, he's amazing, right? He's a great speaker. But when, you know, he's giving financial advice and what it's like to grind and stuff, I'm like, dude, when's the last time you grinded? You know, like when you have the guy who owns Virgin Airlines, I forget what his name.
Richard Branson.
And he's talking about, you know, my life is, you know, I live on an island and a beach. And it's like, I can't identify with you anymore, really. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not for everybody. So for me, I've always wanted to make sure that I get physicians, or I'm talking to people who are really able to give people actionable advice or actionable gems, and also who can relay a sense of relatability. And so far, you know, I've had nothing but great guests. I've had nothing but great feedback. It's been an amazing journey. It was something that I was scared to start. It took me about a year to get started. I'm still scared to do it now, but I'm getting more comfortable with it. And yeah, that's my show. I mean, you can catch it on docsotb.com, docsotb.com. And I hope some of your listeners take a listen and become subscribers.
No, they'll love it. I mean, I think to get specific stories and seeing people that maybe have made it, which I think is great about your show, as well as people that haven't made it yet. They're still figuring it out as they go. And one of the things that I am passionate about as we go along this journey is this whole idea that I hear all the time from physicians: I wish I had gotten this business education when I was in medical school.
Absolutely. You know, yeah.
No one ever taught me this stuff. And so for someone that's listening out there, and they're feeling burned out, maybe they're feeling like they just need a change because they've been working so doggone hard at medicine for years and years and years, whether it was their residency or whatever, and they're thinking about wanting to do something on the side, a little side hustle to get going. You're doing this now with the podcast. Can you let people know, you know, what is it like as a physician where you're doing this side hustle? Let them behind the curtains and give them a little business education on what that's like for you.
Right. So I think much like your personal expenses, what you do on the side is a business basically. But with, for example, with our personal expenses, we budget out what we're going to spend on a monthly basis. The same thing has to occur with your side business or with your side hustle. So I know on average, although I don't have any advertising yet, I know that I spend a certain amount of money for editing. And that's pretty much it. That's my biggest expense. So I have to make sure that I stay within the budget. And, you know, for me, the biggest thing is I work a 24-hour on, 24-hour off schedule. So it's a lot of back and forth. So I know that a lot of my workflow has to occur during the time when I'm off. And that's helped me to become so efficient that even if I didn't work within that realm, I don't know if I'd be as efficient, because for 24 hours, I know that, you know, I'm going to be post-call, I'm going to be tired. So I know I need to get a good nap in, but I know that there's a good 6 to 8 hours where I am on and I got to get as much work in as possible. I have to email guests. I have to confirm dates. I have to make sure my equipment is okay. I have to, you know, talk to website designers. I have to do so many different things just to kind of make sure that the show continues to move forward. But for me, it's so easy because this is my passion. This is what I love to do. Eventually, when the show gets bigger, I'm sure I'm going to need some help, but I really, truly love doing this. Like, you contacted me and you wanted me to talk about, you know, my thoughts and being on the show. Like, this is what I love doing. Like, I live in Pennsylvania, but I'm visiting family, but I'm sitting in the basement in Long Island doing this interview using my phone to tether. Like, this is how it works, man. You know, it's like, it's tape, you know, it's duct tape, you know, and it's not going to be perfect. And that's what I want people to understand. Like, you're going to jump off the cliff, you know, not, you know, literally, but when you decide to take a leap, you're going to have to do a leap of faith, and you may fall a little bit and you may cut yourself on the side of the rocks and stuff, but eventually you're going to learn to fly. It's not going to be perfect. And the key is,
well, let me
go ahead.
Let me just back up just a second, because I was just thinking, I want to insert something so people understand. So you talked about the cost of someone editing, but there's also other costs that people should be aware of that you do, like having the website, buying the domain, the hosting, if you have a separate email, all those different things are costs that people can do. My wife has a band, and you know, it's a loss leader for us. So it's a little bit of a business write-off, but you can minimize some of those things as you go about it, which I know you've done a great job of. And at this particular point where you're grinding and you're getting leadership, in the space, and you're getting more listeners, and you don't have revenue really to speak of yet, how are you thinking of trying to get that first bit of revenue? What does that look like for you?
So for me, the what's been the pie in the sky, I guess, or what my eye is on right now, is trying to get some advertising on the website. So if you come to my website, you'll see that it's very generic, very simple right now. So what I'm working on doing is redoing the website so that I can have a little bit of some advertising, whatever the company may be, just on the side, so that I can start at least breaking even on a episode by episode basis. Right now it costs me roughly about $40, realistically about $50 or $60 per episode to come out with. And that's not including the cost of a domain like Dave you spoke about, and actually hosting also. So I would like to get to the point where I am breaking even or even making just a little bit of a profit. So the way how I see it is, as my Twitter following goes up, as the downloads go up, which they've been doing on a monthly basis, once I get to a point where I feel very comfortable with that, I'll actually contact companies and ask them about sponsorship packages and start that process of actually inserting, you know, some of their advertising onto my website.
I think I have one for you.
Oh, yeah?
Guardian Life Insurance Company.
Okay.
Selling whole life.
Yeah, they could be on the back page, actually.
They could be a commercial at the very end after 30 seconds after you finished with the podcast.
$5,000 a second.
Well, let me just say, Ben, I mean, to do what you do, to find the time to be a practicing physician, to run a podcast, it's like two full-time jobs. And obviously, you're passionate about it. And that just amazes me. So I just want to say, I think you're doing something really special. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you for all you're doing, man. And just tell us a little bit more about the podcast in terms of people go to your website. What do you think are some of the most popular episodes you think folks should check out?
Well, thank you very much for saying that, because this is really a labor of love right now. So to be able to get some good feedback, some positive encouragement and affirmation is great. So thank you, Dave, for that. So yes, if you want to if you go to my website, DocsOTB, so DocsOTB as in boy.com, you'll find all the episodes. You could also find us on iTunes, find me on Google Play, as well as Stitcher Radio, Docs Outside the Box. But in terms of asking me what are my favorite episodes, you're going to get me in trouble by saying this.
Wife hasn't been on yet, so it's okay.
No, she hasn't been on. But right now, I only have 10 episodes. So right now, I really truly think that there's tons of knowledge and gems that listeners can gain from. So for example, like if you want to live outside the box, and that's it. Like you just want to live outside the box. You want to do something different, but you don't want the limelight. You don't want the fame. Then I think episode one is a great episode for you, because you can learn how to live in New Zealand and practice medicine, right? If you want to learn how to, let's say, leverage your knowledge to get the lifestyle that you want, including being a public speaker, being a media expert. If you just want to get your swag on in public, then episode two is for you. That's where I have Dr. Dre. Or Dreon Birch, who's America's OB-GYN. That's a great episode for you to listen to if you're trying to... Sorry, episode three. I apologize. Episode three is his episode. That's if you want to live outside the box and kind of have more of a national...
concierge practice, right?
Yeah, and he has his own concierge practice where you know, he's taking care of the gynecologic issues of high-profile people. So it's very interesting what he has. But I won't... Just take a listen to his episode. I think you'll like it. But if you're, let's say, for example, you are looking for, this is one of my favorite ones. If you're looking to start a nonprofit, you want to live outside the box and you want to take care of a solution, whatever it may be. Episode five, I have Dr. Cameron Matthews and Alden Landry. Episode five is a good one where they started a nonprofit that goes around. They get funding from the Army, they get funding from Aetna and from various sources, and they get on a bus, they get a bunch of physicians to come with them, and they go to different high schools and different colleges, and they help people from less advantaged backgrounds and from minority areas, and they teach them the process of applying to medical school. You know, so that's episode five. If you want to get your finances in order, you know, let's be honest, like if you want to have a non-traditional type of lifestyle, like you have to get your finances shored up, then, you know, episode four is a good one. That's with Katie Brewer. She's a fee-only financial advisor, as well as episode six. That's where I interview Jim Dolly, who created the White Coat Investor, the website. Those are great episodes for you. So I think there's something for everybody there. In terms of my favorite, I can't say yet what's my favorite. I can tell you what I've had a lot of fun talking with. I think episode five, I had a lot of fun talking with them because I was actually friends with them. I still am friends with them. And to see them grow something from an idea that they had in medical school to something that is getting so much national attention, it was amazing. And that was a fun interview. But if you're looking to get anything, any type of knowledge about living outside the box, I think all of the episodes, all 10 episodes will be of value to you.
Well, man, you just keep on doing what you're doing. You step outside that box and keep at it, because I think it's a really great podcast that physicians will really enjoy once they get into it. Now, as we wrap up the interview, I like to start asking this question nowadays. So I want you to take a step back into the past, and you're not a practicing physician. You're not even a resident. You're in medical school. So Nee, if you could sit down with a Nee that's about to finish medical school, what advice would you give to him?
Don't freak out, but in 5 years, you're going to lose your hair. No, but what I would say to the little Nee, because back then I did have a full head of hair, you know, the first thing I would tell myself is to relax. Everything's going to be okay. You know, for me, I was so worried about what the next step would be that I didn't really stop to smell the roses. I didn't really stop to really appreciate the process of being a medical student, of just being, you know, being a med student. Do you know what I'm saying? Like just understanding and being cool with where I am without really just kind of just worrying about what's going to happen over the next 5 to 10 years. So I would have told myself to just chill, smell the roses, understand that, you know, spending more time with family and friends is just as important as being a very good student. So having balance would be another piece of advice I would give myself. And obviously the second thing that I would teach myself also is just to spend more time just teaching myself just the basics of budgeting, you know, understand just the basics. You don't need to know everything, little knee, you know, just understand a little bit of the basics and don't be afraid to touch these products. Let's see, I think the biggest or the second biggest piece of advice I would give myself, which would be number three, would be, you know, to embrace social media more. Back then, I was a very private person, but I would come back and tell myself, listen, there are ways that you can embrace social media without letting everybody have, you know, a window into your private world. You can still let people kind of know you and you can introduce yourself to the world without giving everybody every small little tidbit about your life and stuff. So I would tell myself, look, social media is about to blow up, you know, mm-hmm. be one of the first, you know, an early adopters of this. And be open to the experience of living outside the box more also.
Awesome. Very good. Great advice. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And if people have more questions, how can they get in contact with you?
If you want to get in contact with me, there's multiple ways to get in contact with me. You can contact me through Twitter, which will be at DocsOTB. Remember, that's D as in dog, O-C-S. OTB, B as in boy. I also have a Facebook page, which is Docs Outside the Box. And then also you can email me at docsotb@gmail.com. I respond to all of my emails. I respond to everything that I get on Facebook. I respond to everything I get on Twitter. So there's always a way to be in contact with me and to have a relationship with me online.
All right, man. Well, go get it and keep at it. And if you're listening, my friends out there, I would love the chance to tell your story. It would be my honor to host you on the next podcast because I know, just like from Knee's journey, that we can learn from it. We can help other physicians. After all, who better to speak to a physician than another physician? So I think Knee really laid out some great ideas, some great thoughts for us today. And if you are interested, definitely contact me, dave@drfreedompodcast.com or on my website, www.drfreedompodcast.com. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Remember, my friends, remember to slash your debt, slash your taxes, live a liberated lifestyle. Also, if you gain some value out of this podcast, I would be eternally grateful if you could just take 5 minutes of your time, review it on iTunes or Google Play, because the reviews help more and more physicians become aware of this podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Make sure to subscribe. Check in again soon.